good morning, Scott. Great to be on News Talk 1620. I'm doing well.
Why are you in Austin?
Well, I'm the kickoff speaker for the Defense Energy Summit that is being held today, and we're going to talk about national security and how it's integrated fully with energy.
Now, from yours, now, basically, what are you going to be, I guess, sharing with the people there as far as the future? Are we looking at unusual, I mean, non-traditional energy sources, or are we still looking at the same things that we always have?
Well, as you know, under this president, there's been a real drive to have the military be involved in the war on climate change instead of trying to keep our country secure. And so we've squandered hundreds of billions of dollars on experimental technologies to turn the military green, which has really hurt our national preparedness. And so what I'll be talking about, the key focus we ought to be thinking about in energy is that energy is input to a healthy economy, and that a healthy economy is the best thing we can do for a national security and military strength. So we'll try to build to show how this virtuous circle works in terms of having energy security equals national defense security, or national security from a defense perspective.
Got it. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk with you last week. Congratulations on your reelection. Tell me now, as you get back to D.C., because I guess you'll be back there tomorrow, tell me what seems to be on the checkoff list now that these pretty stunning results have been put in place.
Well, the first thing we'll do in terms of the House is we will reorganize the House Republican Conference. So we'll have meetings this week to pick a new speaker, pick a new majority leader, pick a whip, and so on through the leadership ranks. In addition to that, throughout the lame duck that will go between now and mid-December, we've got to deal with funding the government beyond December the 11th. We've got to the president wants to have legislation or funding for the Ebola crisis. We'll continue to look at the border security issues that arose back during the summertime. We need to look at better ways to deal with the Islamic State terrorist group in the Middle East. Terrorism risk insurance needs to be renewed. Got a bunch of tax extenders that need to be renewed. And so it's going to be a fairly full agenda.
I was shocked this morning.
Baseball stuff.
Gotcha. I was shocked this morning to find out that the United States Senate may actually have a vote coming up. On the XL pipeline, huh? Your thoughts?
Yeah, really? Yeah. Imagine that. So, I mean, Harry Reid has got 300-plus bills from the House that are real-world job bills, and it sits on them. And well, the Americans showed their frustration with that behavior a few days ago.
Well, did you also, though, think that you may have seen Harry Reid a little bit frustrated that the president didn't necessarily take his share of the blame for what happened to the Democrats?
Well, yeah, I heard that, but again, Harry Reid didn't have to be the guy. You know, he was sort of a mafia hitman that would tank all of this legislation we were passing, so the president wouldn't have to look at it. Well, you know, Harry Reid did that to himself. He didn't have to agree with the president to do that. Yeah. He could have had up or down votes, and then let the president make a decision on whether the president was with the American people or with the bureaucrats.
Sure. Bill Flores joining us this morning from Austin. Finally, you did just get reelected, but you've got some campaigning to do, because we talked about this, I don't know, a month ago or so, but the Republican Study Group committee chairmanship is one of the races that the Republicans will be voting on. And apparently, according to The Hill, it's a two-man race, and you're one of those guys.
Well, that's the case, and my goal with any election that I participate in, my goal is to win it and to try to win it convincingly. I don't do this as a civic exercise. The Republican Study Committee is the biggest, most influential caucus in all of Congress. We've got over 160 members, probably going to have about 180 members this year, which would be 75% of the Republican conference in the House. And so we'll have a significant imprint in terms of setting conservative fingerprints on policy for the coming Congress.
I'll read you the quote from The Hill in the article about this morning. While Flores is considered an underdog, one GOP source not affiliated with either camp said that Flores has a demographic path to victory if he can cobble together support from the large Lone Star State delegation and the other Western State Republicans, the defense hawks, and the centrists who recall that Mulvaney, that's your opponent, didn't vote for Boehner for speaker last time. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, when I was interviewed by The Hill yesterday, I said, you know, that you're like a Democrat solution by trying to divide people in all these subgroups to try to figure out how you're going to win. Well, there are 155 people that vote in this election, and I'm assuming that the other two candidates are not going to vote for me, so that means I've got to get 153 votes. And I don't care what group they're in. I'm going to try to get their vote. So my proposed path to victory is get as many of that 153 votes as I can so that we just, we're not trying to divide people into special interest groups. I just don't think that's a good solution.
Well, unlike if you're running for Speaker of the House, for instance, and you lose, and you're going to be in some ways then sent off to political Siberia, this is that the case here? If you happen to not win this, does this in any way hurt you in being able to move legislation forward?
Oh, not at all. No, this is it doesn't hurt at all. If I'm unsuccessful at this particular election, but again, I plan to be successful. And if I'm not, it doesn't hurt anything. I'll still be on my committees. I still have the ability to do everything I need to do, and I'll still be a strong voice for conservative policy in the United States House of Representatives.
Yeah, I'm guessing, as I see it, you just get a chance to try to put your philosophy forward. If not, then you won't be able to do it as chairman, but you'll still put the same philosophy together.
Exactly. Yeah, that's correct.
Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you from D.C. next week.
You bet. Looking forward to it. By the way, I'd like to, now that Veterans Day just passed yesterday, I'd like everybody to remember today is also a Veterans Day. We need to remember our military men and women that are serving us in their prayers.